You know that feeling, right? It's maybe 2.0 p.m. You're out somewhere, you're traveling, or maybe you've just been glued to a group chat all morning dealing with some work crisis.
What?
And you look up at the top right corner of your phone screen, and you just see that little icon turn red, 15%.
Oh, that's the universal signal for panic.
Exactly. It's low battery anxiety. It is a real physiological response at this point.
Yeah.
And for the last, 10 years, we've just accepted it. We carry dongles, we carry power banks that weigh as much as a literal brick, or we become what we call wall huggers, you know, hovering around outlets in airports like moths to a flame.
Well, we accepted it because we didn't really have a choice. The physics of lithium-ion batteries kind of put us in a box. You could have a thin phone or you could have battery life. You just couldn't have both.
Well, today on the Deep Dive, we are looking at a device that claims to have broken that box wide open. We're talking about the Realm P4 Power. And the number on this spec sheet is something that made me double-check my glasses. 10,000 milliamp hours.
Which is absolutely absurd.
It is double the industry standard. But here's the kicker, and this is why we're diving into this today. It isn't a brick. It fits in your pocket. So the mission today isn't just to review a phone. We need to understand the engineering breakthrough that made this possible. Something called silicon carbon anode technology.
Right. This is the holy grail tech we've been hearing whispers about for years. And it's finally here in a consumer product.
We are going to tear into the chemistry of the performance.
Yeah.
Because a big battery means nothing if the phone is slow. And we need to figure out if this is actually the revolution we've been waiting for or if there's a catch. Because at a price point of $350, there has to be a catch, right?
There's always a catch. But in this case, the catch might not be what you think.
Let's start with the elephant in the room. Or I guess the elephant in the pocket, the battery.
Yeah.
For the last decade, we've been stuck at that 5,000 milliamp ceiling. Why? We have folding screens. We have AI chips. We have cameras that can see the craters on the moon. Why has battery tech been so stagnant?
It really comes down to energy density and, well, safety. Traditional batteries, the ones in almost every device from, say, 2010 to 2025, use graphite anodes. Think of the anode as the storage tank where the lithium ions park themselves when the battery is charged. Graphite is reliable, it's safe, but it has a physical limit.
A capacity limit.
Exactly. Think of a graphite anode like a parking garage with a fixed number of concrete spots. You literally cannot cram any more lithium ions into graphite without making the battery physically larger. The industry hit a wall where they had optimized that graphite structure as much as physics allowed.
So to get more power, you just had to make the phone bigger.
Yeah.
Hence those rugged construction site phones we used to see that were an inch thick.
Precisely. And nobody wanted those for daily use. They were niche tools. Enter silicon carbon anode technology. This is the breakthrough inside the Realm P4 Power.
I've seen the headline stat. Silicon can hold 10 times more lithium ions than graphite. That sounds like magic.
I mean,
if it's 10 times better, why haven't we been using this since 2020? Why are we waiting until 2026?
Because of the swelling problem. This is where the chemistry gets a little tricky. See, pure silicon is great at holding ions. But when it absorbs them, it physically expands. It swells up to 300% of its original size.
300%? Whoa, that sounds dangerous.
It is. If you put pure silicon in a phone battery, the battery would effectively push the screen out, crack the glass, or, you know, potentially rupture after just a few charge cycles. It's too volatile physically.
Okay, that is a significant design flaw. Exploding phones are generally frowned upon by the consumer market.
Just a bit. So the engineering miracle here, and why we call it silicon carbon, is the structure. They use a carbon lattice to effectively cage the silicon. Imagine a honeycomb structure made of carbon, and inside each cell is a tiny bit of silicon.
Oh, like a containment field.
Exactly. It allows the silicon to expand and contract to store that energy, but the carbon cage keeps the overall structure stable. It prevents that massive swelling from destroying the battery.
So you get the capacity of silicon with the stability of carbon.
Ideally, yes. And the result isn't a battery that's 10 times smaller, because you still need electrolytes and packaging and all that. But the practical result for the P4 power is roughly a 30 to 40% increase in energy density.
Which explains the form factor. I'm looking at the dimensions here. The P4 power is 9 millimeter thick.
Which is normal.
It's barely thicker than a standard flagship. But inside, they've packed 10,000 millimina. In the old world, a battery that size would have taken up the space of, what, a 6,000 milliliter battery?
Yeah.
They've successfully hidden a massive generator inside a standard chassis.
And that is significant because we've seen this tech experimented with in high-end foldables, mostly to save space to make the hinges work. But this is the first time we're seeing it used for brute force capacity in a mass-market, budget-friendly device. It's the signal that the technology has matured from experimental to standard.
It's a huge shift, but let's be honest, having a massive gas tank is only half the equation. You also need an engine that can use it effectively. And this is where I was a bit skeptical reading the spec sheet. It's a $350 phone. Usually that means we're getting a leftover processor from 3 years ago.
Or a mid-range chip that stutters when you open three apps at once.
Right. But Realme has gone with the MediaTek Dimensity 8400 Ultra. Now, for the listeners who haven't kept up with the Silicon Wars, MediaTek used to be the cheap option compared to Snapdragon. Is that still the case in 2026?
Not anymore. That reputation is ancient history. MediaTek has pulled off a massive rebrand over the last few years. While Qualcomm Snapdragon series is still the leader for the absolute top-tier, $1,500 phones, MediaTek owns the price-to-performance crown.
So they're the smart buy now.
Exactly. They've graduated. If Realme had used the latest Snapdragon 8 series, this phone would cost $600 or $700 easily. By going with the Dimensity 8400 Ultra, they keep the price at $350 while delivering performance that rivals flagships from just 2 years ago.
The numbers seem to back that up. I'm looking at the AnTuTu V12 benchmark score here, 1.8 million points. For context, that is rivaling the flagship Snapdragon chips from late 2024.
It is god-tier performance from 2 years ago, available for pennies on the dollar today. That score means you aren't just getting a phone that opens email fast. You're getting a device capable of some serious high-fidelity computing.
Let's translate raw power into actual usage. Because synthetic benchmarks are one thing, playing Call of Duty is another. We're calling this segment Performance and the Budget Dragon. The source material ran some FPS frames per second tests. Let's look at Call of Duty. Warzone on high settings, what do we see?
A stable 120 FPS.
120 at a competitive level.
It is. If you're a gamer, you know that anything above 60 is smooth, but 120 is just fluid. It gives you a reaction time advantage. To get that on a $350 device is impressive. Usually, budget phones cap out at 60 or really struggle to maintain it.
And then there's the torture test, Genshin Impact. Even in 2026, this game is essentially a benchmark for melting phones. It's so poorly optimized and incredibly demanding.
It's the can-it-run crisis of the mobile world. If a phone has a weakness, Genshin will find it.
The test results showed 58 FPS average after a full hour of play at max settings. Now, I want to highlight that part, after a full hour. Because usually, budget phones throttle, they get hot, and the chip slows down to protect itself.
Exactly. You usually see a sharp drop-off at the 15-minute mark. You'll go from 60 FPS down to 40 or 30 because the phone is thermally choking. The P4 power just didn't do that. It stayed steady.
Why? Is the chip just that efficient?
It's partially the chip, but there's actually a fascinating side effect of having such a massive battery here.
Go on.
It's all about thermal mass and surface area. Because the battery is physically larger, remember, even though it's dense, it takes up a lot of internal volume, there's simply more surface area inside the phone to dissipate heat.
Wait, so the battery helps cool the phone? That sounds backwards. Usually the battery is a source of heat.
It's a source of heat when charging, sure. But during discharge, during usage, it acts like a massive block of thermal mass. Think of it this way. It's easier to boil a cup of water than a bathtub of water.
Okay, I follow. The bathtub absorbs more heat before it gets hot.
Exactly. The larger battery mass absorbs and distributes the heat generated by the processor more effectively than a smaller battery would. It acts like a giant passive heat sink spread across the back of the device.
That is just elegant engineering. So the thing that gives you endurance is also the thing that keeps the performance stable.
Right. And combine that with what Realme calls the ice core vapor chamber, which is a fancy marketing term for a very large cooling plate, it just works. In the wildlife extreme stress test, which hammers the phone for 20 minutes straight to try and break it, it hit a 98% stability rating. Most $1,000 flagships struggle to hit 80%.
So it runs cool and it runs fast. But let's talk about living with this beast, because my biggest fear with a 10,000 milliamp battery is charging it. I mean, logically, if I plug this into a standard wall charger, am I waiting until 2027 for it to hit 100%?
That would be the worry, right? If you used an old 20-watt charger, yes, you'd be looking at a 4 or 5 hour recharge time. But this is where the proprietary tech comes in. Realme is using 150W Super VOOC GaN charging.
150 watts? That is a lot of juice. That's laptop-level power. Actually, that's gaming laptop power.
It is a fire hose of electrons, and the lab results show 0% to 100% in 45 minutes.
Okay, 45 minutes. Now, the skeptic in me hears that and thinks, wait, my current phone charges in 30 minutes.
True, but you have to remember, you're filling a tank that is double the size. If you were filling a 5,000 mAh battery at this speed, it'd be done in 20 minutes. But 45 minutes for 10,000 mAh is remarkably fast.
And there's the sip factor, right?
Yes. This is crucial for real-world use. Because the capacity is so huge, a quick 10-minute charge while you're brushing your teeth or finding your keys gives you roughly 25% battery.
And 25% of 10,000 mAh.
2,500 mAh. That is effectively a full day of moderate use for a normal person, just from a 10-minute splash and dash.
That changes your relationship with the wall outlet completely. You aren't tethered anymore. And speaking of endurance stats, the numbers here are just silly. Continuous video playback. 34 hours.
34 hours. Compare that to the market average of 14 hours. It's more than double. You could fly from New York to Sydney, realize you forgot your passport, fly back, and you would still be watching movies.
And for the gamers, heavy gaming, specifically Genshin Impact, usually kills a phone in about 4.5 hours. The P4 power.
12 hours.
12 hours of Genshin. That is a literal dawn to dusk gaming session.
It's endurance that effectively removes battery anxiety from your life. But we have to address the physical reality of carrying this thing. We talked about it being 9 millimeter thick, which is manageable, but what about the weight? This is the weight debate.
Right. It weighs 240 grams. Now, for the listener, is that heavy?
It is, yeah. It's on the heavier side. But context is everything. The iPhone 16 Pro Max weighs around 225 grams.
So we're talking about a 15-gram difference.
Exactly. That's about the weight of 3 US quarters. Or a few grapes. If you're used to a flagship Max or ultra-sized phone, you literally won't notice the difference.
That's surprising. I expected it to be way heavier. I was imagining it pulling my pants down.
And what helps is the balance. The source notes that Realme distributed the weight toward the bottom of the phone.
Oh, that's smart. No top-heavy toppling over in your hand.
Right. It sits securely in the palm. It prevents that hand fatigue you get when a phone wants to tip backward over your fingers. It anchors itself.
And we should mention the screen you're looking at while holding this anchor. It's a flat 6.78 inch OLED. And I have to say, as someone who plays games, thank goodness for the flat screen. I am so done with curved edges.
Oh, gamers generally hate curved screens. Ghost touches, distortion at the edges, glare lines. It's a mess for controls. Realme knows their audience here. It's flat, it's 144 hertz refresh rate, which is a buttery smooth, and the brightness peaks at 6,000 nits.
6,000 nits. That's blinding.
It is great for outdoor use. You can game in direct sunlight at the beach and see everything clearly.
Okay, so far, this sounds like the perfect phone. Infinite battery, great performance, fast charging, good screen. But at $350, there has to be a catch.
Yeah.
We're calling this segment the compromises, or perhaps more accurately, the Achilles heel.
There is always a trade-off. You cannot have everything for $350. And in this case, the sacrifice was made at the altar of photography.
Yeah, looking at the camera samples described here,
yeah. If
you're an aspiring influencer, you want to win National Geographic Awards, look away now.
Exactly. The main sensor is a Sony LYT600. It's fine. In daylight, you'll get sharp photos, punchy colors. It's perfectly serviceable for social media or scanning a document. But as soon as the sun goes down,
noise city,
it gets noisy. Detail gets lost. The shutter speed slows down, so moving subjects get blurry. And the secondary cameras are where it really feels like a budget phone. The ultra-wide is 8MP, which feels very 2020, and there's no telephoto lens at all.
So an optical zoom, you're zooming with your feed.
Or digital cropping, which degrades quality instantly. If the camera's your priority, this is not your phone.
But they did throw a bone to the gamers in the hardware department, something that I honestly thought was extinct.
The 3.5mm headphone jack.
The return of the king. Why does this matter so much? Everyone has Bluetooth buds now.
It matters for latency. If you're playing a competitive shooter, Bluetooth still have a tiny bit of lag. You hear the footstep or the gunshot a fraction of a second after it happens. With a wired connection, it's instant. Zero latency. Plus, you don't have to charge your headphones. One less battery to manage.
And they added dedicated capacitive shoulder triggers.
Right. These are touch-sensitive zones on the side of the phone. When you hold it horizontally to game, your index fingers rest on them. It basically turns the phone into a controller.
Which keeps your thumbs off the screen so you can actually see what you're playing.
It's a clear message. This is a gaming and media consumption device first. It's a communication device second, and a camera a distant third.
So let's look at the arena. If you're standing in the store with $350, who else is fighting for your money? The source mentions the POCO X8 Pro and the Samsung Galaxy M56.
Right. The POCO X8 Pro is the speed demon. It has the Snapdragon 8's Gen 4. It's technically a faster processor than the MediaTek in the realm.
But the battery?
Only 5,500 milliamp.
Only. It's funny how small that sounds now.
It shows how quickly the baseline shifts. So if you prioritize raw processing speed above all else, maybe you do emulation or heavy video editing, the POCO wins. But if you prioritize playtime, Realme wins hands down.
And the Samsung.
The Galaxy M56 has a 7,000 milliamp battery, which is respectable. That used to be the king of batteries. But it's capped at 45W charging.
Gosh, filling 7,000 milliamp at 45W. That's going to take a while.
It's painful. You're looking at nearly 2 hours for a full charge. Realme destroys it in both capacity and refill speed. It sits in this perfect middle ground, powerful enough for 95% of games, with battery life that simply does not end.
So let's wrap this up. What is the final verdict? The review score is a 9.2 out of 10. That is a very high score for a budget phone.
It is. And I think it earns it because it delivers on a specific promise perfectly. The core value proposition here is one word: freedom.
Freedom from the charger.
Freedom from the wall socket. Freedom from carrying a power bank. Freedom from looking at your battery percentage at 2 p.m. and panicking because it's at 18%.
It's a lifestyle shift. You stop managing your phone's life and just use it.
Precisely. If your budget is around $350 and your priority is gaming marathon sessions or just consuming media without limits, there is simply no better option on the market in 2026.
Even with the mediocre cameras.
Because for the target audience, that trade-off is absolutely worth it. If you care about virtual headshots more than portrait headshots, this is the device for you.
It really challenges the way we think about phone design. Which brings us to a provocative thought to leave you with today. For the last 10 years, we have obsessed over thinness. How thin can we make the iPhone? How sleek can the Galaxy be?
And we sacrificed battery life to get there. We optimized for aesthetics over utility.
Right. So now that we have the technology, this silicon carbon tech to pack infinite power into a frame that is only slightly thicker, we were talking millimeters here, is the era of thinness above all else finally dead?
It raises the question. Would you carry 15 extra grams, literally 3/4 in your pocket, if it meant you didn't have to charge your phone for 2 days? I think for most people, once they taste that freedom, the answer is becoming a resounding yes.
I think I'm with you on that. Give me the chunky battery any day.
That is all for this deep dive on the 10,000 milliamp revolution. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.